The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Presented by Coors Light. Whatever your mountain, climb on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
A good Wednesday morning, everybody. John, Lance, and Dell now for the next 2.5 hours. Raheel will join us at 9 o'clock. We had a few interviews yesterday, one of which was one of the big stories today on ESPN, where Stephen F. Austin played up to within one and had the ball and threw it away. Unfortunately, didn't get a shot off. They lose 82-81 to Missouri. For those of you that heard, Kyle Keller, very excitable guy. Very excited. Dell, what is my list of guys, most excitable interviews in Houston?
I think we should create a round table where we all just sit back because we want to do a show for the people, not just the three of us. And what we do is...
Stop, Lamont.
We have Kyle Keller, Billy Kennedy, Jim Crane, and Billy Lucci. They all sit around a table and just talk to each other. And you imagine the energy that comes from that table?
Dude.
Can you imagine?
Billy, and I, if you had to rank them, I would say
what
Billy.
What are you talking about,
dude? The least energy that you're going to find of any interviews ever.
Yeah,
Billy Kennedy, I think, tops the list. He is.
Luch always seems tired.
Luch is a slow talker. That's all.
Yeah,
he's not a close talker. He's a slow talker. That's all.
Yeah,
and he, you know, and that's his style, and that's what he does. But of all of those. Luch is like Dick Vitale. I mean, with Jim Crane is very laid back, and whenever he's here, it's always. And we've had him in studio for a couple of hours now.
I'm trying to think of who the
in Billy Kennedy though is by far, and Kyle Keller didn't bring a lot of energy yesterday. But that's just some people. Maybe they just aren't. That's just how they are.
I don't know, man. We're getting into. Obviously, football season's ending, and the Rockets are going to be dominant. So I don't know how interesting that is. But until the Astros come about, we should do some special things for the people. And we can get those four together at some point and just have a round table. It'll be awesome. Just have them go back and forth talking about sports like the sports reporters.
No, no, we're not doing that.
Only with quiet talkers?
They're all low-energy talkers. Really, Jim Crane is awesome, though. He was great. That was where the story came out that who was it didn't want to make the Baltimore. Peter Angelos shut down that trade that they were trying to make. And it actually worked out okay. He was here the day after the trade deadline.
So he came here?
He was in studio
for an hour.
I saw
his comments. That's where the comments finally came out. Because we thought it was from the Astros side initially. That's the initial thought.
It was on this show. Jim Crane said that Peter Angelos shut down that deal.
You know...
For Zach Britton? Was it Britton?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to have a Zach Britton, but...
No, why would they need him?
You don't need a Zach Britton. I tell you what,
the bullpen did just
they
fine.
They really...
World champs.
I'm interested to see what happens before they get cranked up. That's going to be pretty interesting to see.
Don't you think they might be done?
Did they get a closer? Did I miss something?
No, but they got two relievers.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're talking to you, Darvish.
Yeah, they're talking. I don't think you is going to close.
I don't think that's going to get there.
But that just moves another guy down.
It won't be Lance McCullers.
No.
Over his cold, dead carcass, will you drag him into a closer's role?
That's not happening. Not in this lifetime.
Now, of course, you know, some of that is also because when Lance was on with us, he
shut that down.
He wanted to make sure you knew that and everyone knew that there's. Well,
but what starter wants to? Oh, yeah. You know what I'd like to do? Go to the bullpen.
They don't want to do that. But the other thing is, you know, that's also his, like, teammate and his buddy. No one wants to say, yeah, I'd love to be a closer when Ken Giles is like, hey, that's my
I'm
job.
Over here.
Like, is it really, though? Nah. Is it your job for sure? They ended the World Series run, a run where they won a World Series, first ever, with everyone, and including your manager, saying, we can't. Put this guy.
No.
Is that really a closer when you just won a World Series with that guy being circled on a roster as we can't play this
what
guy?
What do you think about Lance? What about you closing this game? Hey, Charlie, you think you could close tonight? That'd be great. That'd be great.
All year long like that. Yeah. Like, hey.
No. What about
Brad Peacock, new closer?
How do you know that Musgrove can't be a closer?
I'd rather have Brad Peacock.
What about
Brad Peacock? Was messing people up.
I know he was.
And he's a strikeout guy.
You're talking to the president of Brad Peacock's fan club right here.
Well, I mean, I've been all over
Brad Peacock like it's ugly. Okay, like something you don't want to watch. Okay. That's how much I've been all over Brad Peacock.
You've been all over Brad's Peacock?
I've been all over Brad Peacock for a while now. Okay,
Darryl, you're just
getting on board.
I'm just a late coming treasure. Yeah. That's all. I didn't know. I didn't realize this train was already rolling.
I think Peacock could be a close.
Yeah. Well, he's got a plus fastball. He's got an out pitch, breaking pitch, sharp breaking pitch, and he's got a high strikeout rate.
He absolutely could be.
Yeah. He absolutely could be.
Well, now he was also their best. He was their best pitcher wire to wire last year. Best pitcher. His ERA was 3 while Keuchel's was 2.9, and Keuchel missed 7 months of the season. He was there for the entire time. Now, it was AJ, he get a runner on in the 5th, got to pull him. 4 2/3, got to pull him. Well, maybe he can get out of it, and it is a runner on first in the 5th inning, but AJ had no confidence in him for the most part. And then in the postseason either. He went to McCullers, he went to Morton, and he said, Brad, you hit the bench.
Yeah.
He came through in the World Series.
They're just trying to figure things out. They had a bunch of guys who were just guys. You weren't sure on Charlie Martin. Morton, you had injuries there. You had Musgrove. No one clearly defined their role. No one clearly stepped up. I mean, they had moments. And then some things started falling into place at the perfect time. The Astros are a classic example of you just have to get hot at the right time. It's an ebb and flow, and it's almost luck where you catch injuries and hot streaks at the right time. Right. That's really all it is.
And while it was happening, I thought, Cleveland won 22 in a row. Maybe they're peaking too early. The Dodgers as well. But the Dodgers got it back. The Astros got it back. Astros were the hottest team in the first half. Well, and then they had the injuries.
Remember the article on ESPN? The big piece they had at about the midway point that said, are Dodgers and Astros on a collision course for World Series? And then the second half of the season was like, nope, they sure aren't.
Nope.
Astros can't get there, not even close.
Yeah.
And then Justin Verlander also helped turn around.
Yeah, but Correa coming back with over 2 weeks left in the season, Keuchel coming back where he could get his rhythm back, it all worked out perfectly. If those guys come back right for the postseason, they're not ready.
Well, Correa, I was worried that Correa was going to be back in time to get, shake off the rust, and clearly
he was.
That's
right, he did. About 2.5 weeks.
But, it takes, just think about this. What did it take to win a World Series? It took some unbelievably clutch home runs.
Yep.
Unbelievably clutch. It took a ridiculous hot streak from Jose Altuve to power you past the Yankees initially. Right.
He didn't show up for the World Series.
But then that's why they had those World Series. And Georgie got
right. And then he got hot.
Yeah, you had to have everything break right to win a World Series. You just really realize, so many things have to go right for you. It's just a matter of timing. That's why you don't see teams repeat over and over and over.
Because
in baseball,
for this team.
I think in baseball more than anything, basketball, you have two great players on your team, you can win forever. That's how it works. In baseball, there's just too many variables with injury and bullpen and hot streaks and all that stuff. There's just too many variables.
Yeah. 708 ESPN 97.5. We're only two shows away from being out of clients. And Mark says, where do we park for Friday, guys? Parking lot is tiny. There's the HEB just right across Fountain View.
Yeah.
That whole parking lot is empty.
Yeah.
And a bunch of you can park over there, and it's a short walk over to Klein's.
Oh, yeah.
It's right across the street. So if you are looking for a place to park, that is going to happen. We're talking about now with the Hoops goal, we're trying to see, figure out whether or not we're going to do that, because it's like 80% chance rain. 80%. So we're going to have to figure that out, whether or not that's
sure?
even worth going. Yeah, apparently. What do you got now?
I'm going to check the updated weather report here, and I'll see.
For some reason,
I just like to say 80% chance of fun.
You think it's 80%? Well, it looks like it's 80% it's chance of rain.
Here's Weather Channel, where professional meteorologists give it a 40% chance.
Who is it? Is it Cheetah? I don't believe it.
It's probably National David Paul. Whoever the David Paul is, he's probably national.
You think it's national David Paul? There is no David Paul national. There's the sweetness that is a David Paul.
So they got 20% Thursday, 40% Friday, and 70% Saturday. The 40% chance on Friday, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Yeah, whatever. Early in the day. I don't believe that.
Yeah, early. By says, early, you mean 11:30?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or whenever Dale's on the radio.
Yeah. Dale's going to be on at 11, from 11 to 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, over at Nick's Place, 2713 Rocky Ridge, where we'll be going afterwards. We're going to caravan over to Nick's Place right after. So we got all that going on. 713-780-3776, the number. We got a lot of stuff to do today.
So there, we do have a lot of things to do. Eric Sandler actually is going to come in for a second at 8:30. You know, Culture Map, where the side of the building is cultured, like that's where I live. And it's also incredibly air-conditioned.
It looks, yeah, it is. I mean, it's hot.
You would love it. It's actually a little warm in here. For the first time, I agree with you a little bit. But he's got a new list. This is, our listeners will like this. He put together the list of top 20 new restaurants in Houston for 2017. So he'll give a little, he'll unveil them here in Houston.
Nice.
He'll unveil some of them here in Houston. Because these are spots that you can go to. They're not all fancy pants restaurants. If you just say, hey, I want just a great place to eat. You get the hook up here.
No, I want my beef medallions to be like the size of a dime.
Is that it?
with little baby tiny silverware.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a little bit of mint or something
there. He'll have a place like that for you, too.
No.
That'll be fine.
That's awesome.
We went last night to the Pass. Eric Layden, my buddy who I do the podcast with.
Didn't you go there last week too?
Yeah, was with for a birthday. Yeah. It was two weeks, and last week he was throwing Japanese scotch at me. Seth Siegel Gardner, who listens to the show, and then this time it was some type of bourbon that was, I don't know. I just end up having a little much to drink whenever I go there, but the food's fantastic. But he makes it pretty. He makes it pretty.
He
over
makes
there
it pretty.
Too. Yeah, he can make it pretty. He was telling a story about how whenever he worked in a restaurant in New York where two Japanese chefs. And they would just scream at him. Like, they just screamed at everybody in Japanese, just trash-talking him the whole time. I don't know what they're saying. I know it's not good. And you just have to sit and take it. It's like being in the Marines, only with Japanese chefs.
Right.
And there's, you know, and those are the just screaming in your face nonstop. He was telling some stories. But Eric Layden, who's also going to be at the Christmas party, he's in town. He's going to come out to our Christmas party. He's been a Big Love, Generation Kill, The Killing, American Sniper, Mad Men. He was Peggy. He was Don Draper's wife, January Jones. Can't remember her name on the show, but he was her brother on that show. He said, John Hamm is an awesome dude. He goes, yeah. You think he's awesome? He said, he is awesome. That guy's great. But he said, so he was wearing a blind. He's the Jinx. Like, we figured out he was the Jinx. He was watching the. Didn't watch the first. He was shooting a series in Vancouver called Six about the SEAL team. And he said, he grew up in Kincaid, went to school at Kincaid, lifelong Astros fan. Was watching the Yankees. He didn't watch the first two games. Astros win. Watched all three of the next three. They lose all of them.
That's on him.
He told me that. I'm like, well, you're the Jinx. What are you doing? Yeah. I was trying to figure out what I was doing. He goes, I got more bad news. I'm flying into Houston to watch game six. I'm like, well, that's an a-hole move. Why would you go to a game if you know you're the Jinx?
Yeah.
This is a great chance, he goes, for us to try to move forward and win a World Series. He goes, well, what do you want me to do? Like, wear a blindfold at the game? I said, yeah. He brought a blindfold to the game and put it on in the fifth inning, and they started scoring all their runs. He was at a game,
with
third baseline with blindfolds on. He wore the exact same clothes for game seven. Against the Yankees.
Did he go again?
He put a blindfold. He went the next day, and they won. When he put the blindfold on, they scored in L.A., game two, put a blindfold on late in the game. He has video
of it. And Marwin
hit
the homer.
Yeah. So Seth Siegel Gardner goes, the chef goes, I swear to you, Eric, if you just please keep that blindfold on and they win a World Series, you come to Houston, and you got caviar service for days. We go there. The first thing to the table, a big thing of three types of caviar. Like, it was caviar service. Couldn't believe it.
How was the caviar?
Pricey.
Any good?
Yeah, it was good. It was fish eggs, Dale. That's what we're eating. They're called
Why
fish
you gotta
eggs.
Call him Dale?
They call him Roe.
His name is Deldo.
They call him Roe.
Or Delvin. He likes
What's
Delbert.
What's this thing? The last couple of days, you refer to me as Dale.
I don't know. I heard somebody call. I think it was Jose called you Dale or something,
yeah,
something like that.
I don't know where that came from, though.
Yeah, it came from you.
Well.
Yeah, you know exactly where it came from.
I'm not sure where that came from. All right, let's actually start on time with breaks, but we're already behind.
I want to tell you about Gulf Coast. My man Craig DeSurfso, he's real tight with Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve went out there and got a pickup truck from Gulf Coast out in Angleton, and Altuve loves it because, for one, you love Craig DeSurf. Dealing with this guy is one of the best things you can possibly do. I've never in all my life met anybody who makes you feel like he's just fun to be around. And he just bottom lines it. When he was here at a dealership in Houston for years, he ended up leaving there, and he wanted to go someplace after an ownership change. He wanted to go someplace where it felt, you know, like home, like a neighborhood spot. And he found it out in Angleton. And he said, you know, at first I was wondering, is Angleton going to be right for me? He goes, and then we get so many people come out from Houston. A lot of my old customers will come out. He said, I've got Chevy pickup trucks, the Sierra Edition GMCs. I've got the Silverado Texas Edition. They've got Yukons and Suburbans. And he said, Lance, the bottom line is I just decided I'm going to beat everybody on price. No one's going to beat me on price. And service and selection is unmatched. So even if you say, hey, I want to buy this vehicle, I can't make it out to Angleton to pick it up, he'll valet it into Houston for you. That's the service that you get, and the prices are phenomenal on trucks, SUVs, and Buick Encores and Enclaves, crossover vehicles, the Chevy Cruze, 25% off MSRP. Go to the website at gulfcoast.net and see what type of selection they have and what type of specials they have going on for you right now. gulfcoast.net.
Hey, I got to talk about my peeps over at Edwin Watts Golf Shop. Here to tell you that it's the most wonderful time of the year at Edwin Watts. Listen, if you've got a golfer, Edwin Watts is the perfect gift. Get him a gift card. There is so much that he can get there. If you're looking for that rangefinder right now, you can save $50 on the Pro X2, Tour V4, and V4 Shift Patriot packs. And save $50 on the XL watch. These are excellent, excellent gifts because you always got to know how far the pin is. So you got to have a rangefinder, okay? Give the gift of distance as well with TaylorMade's newest irons, P790s and MCGBs. And you save $5 on the most complete tour ball, TP5 and TP5X. Now just $39.99 a dozen. Gift cards are available. You can join the Edwin Watts customer loyalty program. Get 2% back on all your golf purchases. Visit Edwin Watts Golf in Houston, right here at Yorktown and Westheimer, 5395 Westheimer. Edwin Watts, home of the 90-day 100% satisfaction guarantee, helping golfers' dreams come true since 1968. All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. There's a big article in the Chronicle today that Deshaun Watson wants Bill O'Brien to stay. I don't think that's surprising the way the success that they had. That's his first head coach in the NFL. He tailored his offense to Deshaun. I thought they were awesome together, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, obviously.
I can't blame Deshaun. He tweeted out last week, what did he say? I want Bill O'Brien 100%, 100 with the three lines underneath it, yeah, the red 100.
100.
100. I want Bill O'Brien 100% or whatever.
Right.
And then the Chronicle came back with another article. Today, he says, we have a great relationship. Coach OB is fun to play for. He's very tough on you. He wants you to be successful. I would love to have Coach OB back, and I'm ready to have him with me for my whole career. If you are Bob or / Cal, who I think now is probably going forward, will be the face of the franchise.
/ Rick? Aren't they the big three?
This is probably an owner decision, don't you think, if you're going to fire the head coach?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Three owners.
No, Rick's not an owner.
Didn't he vest after 10 years? Didn't he become a vested owner?
He probably has a nice piece, but he doesn't. Yeah. I don't think he's an owner, per se.
Just checking.
If it's sweat equity or time equity, I'm sure, yeah, not right now, what with, you know, his 80th year as the general manager and, you know, what with the two playoff wins. Or do they have three? Anyway, do you take into account Deshaun Watson at all? A rookie quarterback?
No, you can't. You build your team. Because what if you make that decision, give an extension, and the GM and head coach don't like each other, and then Deshaun tears his shreds his knee again, Like, oh, well, TJ Yates, who do you want to play for? You want O'Brien too? Because we got this contract now. No, you don't let Deshaun. Here's the thing with Deshaun. Deshaun Watson was pretty good in high school. He was pretty good in college. He's pretty good in the pros. I'm sensing that it's not really necessarily the coach that's making him good.
Yeah.
I feel like this kid might just have something a little bit special.
Yeah.
So I don't think that if Bill O'Brien goes away, all of a sudden that it goes sideways.
Well, there was a story, and I believe you related it to me, about Bill O'Brien called a play, and it couldn't have been worse for the defense, and yet Deshaun made it work.
Well, Bill O'Brien had there was a protection called, and the offensive line screwed up the protection. It's going to surprise you. But the offensive line screwed up the protection against Seattle.
That's unbelievable.
And there was a free runner right in his face, and Deshaun just went, whoop, whoop. Oh, I'll take care of you by myself. Uh-huh. Zoop, zoop, zoop. And then threw a dime to Will Fuller down the field. Like, doesn't make sense to throw that accurately. And
oh, no, Todd McShay said he can't throw accurately down the field, remember?
You can do what you want with Todd McShay's rankings if that's what you want to do. Let's read my rankings, shall we? Although I did say accuracy needs to get better.
Do you sense a little, every time I bring up Todd McShay, that Lance has got a little, there's a little edge to him?
Certainly before the show, when he can use the language he likes to use. you mentioned Todd McShay was talking about someone. Lance pretty much said, bleep Todd McShay.
What?
That's not what I said.
It was the feeling.
I was like, Todd McShay is a fine, decent person.
No.
He's average rating.
That's a lie.
No.
That's a lie.
No. I said, Arden Key, he's got ninth, and Connor Williams, 10th.
Connor Williams has no prayer getting in the first round. None. People are teams,
according to Todd McShay.
Listen, let me tell you something. All of these guys who you see, you know, all these fans will get, they'll try to come after me, for example, with everybody else has to, when I mention something about Connor Williams. How come every other person? Because every other person hasn't watched any tape on him yet. They'll get to him, and when they do, and I said it on Twitter too. I said, trust me. Somebody came at me with, how come Todd McShay has yet? Some Longhorn fan. I said, oh, he'll change his. Trust me. Todd McShay will. You will see Connor Williams plummet out of the top 10 as soon as he gets some tape.
But there's a pretty good chance, and we see it every time. Where is Connor? How come nobody's taking? He'll be on the board, best available.
We don't understand
for Todd,
why
Todd
he's
McShay
sliding. Yeah.
Best available for 2 days.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I've never seen anything like this. So his technique was off. He looked slower. He wasn't hurt either. I did my homework.
Todd McShay says he's not.
You'll see. Like I said, he will be out of Todd McShay's first round within 1 month.
Anyway, back to Deshaun hitting Will Fuller.
He made a perfect throw. And I guess Bill O'Brien made a comment that,
don't even.
What do I have to do with this? I don't even know what I'm like. Am I even part of this? Like Deshaun, you know, he's joking, halfway joking, but you get the point.
I don't even have to call a play. No,
Carroll,
whatever it is.
Who is it? Daryl Bevel. Is it Daryl Bevel? No.
The OC?
Yeah, for the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bevel had to be saying, he had to be saying that for years with Russell Wilson, too. Like, what do I have to do with this just now? Guy scrambles around for 30 seconds and then, you know, hits a 60-yarder for a touchdown. That has nothing to do with the OC.
Kendall Lamb is like, man, when Deshaun was here, I didn't give up one sack.
Pro Football Focus gave me a 67.3 whenever Deshaun was here, and now I'm in the 30s.
Maybe. Is Kendall Lamb done yet?
Kendall Lamb was so bad that they've got. Yeah.
Oh my God!
That they've got Jeff Allen.
They moved
out
Jeff
there
Allen back. Guard. To...
I mean, one of the does anybody have worse bodies than the Texans guards? Jeff Allen and Xavier Suofilo.
What did Ken Hoffman think about that move from right guard to left tackle?
Oh, well, he was. I told him it was going to be hard, and he just thought it was no big deal.
No, he was wrong. Apparently, Jeff Allen thinks that the play's got to start like a fraction earlier than everybody else so that he can actually stop someone from sacking the quarterback.
So,
is there anybody that gets penalized more than Jeff Allen?
You want to tell you something? No, not in football. There's been basketball players that have more technical fouls. Like Rasheed Wallace had more penalties than probably.
Yeah, probably.
Do you know that Xavier Suofilo played left tackle some at UCLA? Can you imagine that?
Oh, God.
left tackle, Xavier Seofilo.
Honestly, have you seen anyone who is worse at pass protection than Xavier Seofilo this year?
There was one guy. Remember Todd Wade?
Yeah.
Todd Wade was pretty terrible.
Got him from your Dolphins, though.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember Todd Wade.
You remember Todd Wade.
Todd Wade came in and was immediately a pariah.
I don't think he was
like
as bad as Seofilo.
No, he was a tackle also, but Seofilo's really, I mean, his Olays and whiffs are just.
Well, and not only that, but
not even close.
He's falling backwards and just run
so,
straight
so it's
over.
One thing to get beat. He has like embarrassing highlight reel stuff. I've never seen anything like it for Texas.
So what do you do, though, because he's a second, you know, he's the first pick of the second round.
Don't care. If you ever lead with that,
yeah, but
what are you
going to? I mean, but now you need a left tackle, you need a right tackle,
left guard, right guard.
You need.
Can I also hit you guys with this? Nick Martin, this is now four consecutive years that he's ended a season out for the year. Two in college, two in the pros, where he has not been on. I mean, last year obviously he didn't play at all. So this is now what four of the last 5 years. Four of the last 5 years. That Nick Martin did not finish a season.
And finish the season. He didn't even start a season last year.
Two of them. Yeah. Two of the 5 years he didn't even play.
Yeah.
So does that is that a concern for anybody?
No,
the
you
durability.
Think?
So you, that's the one guy that everyone hangs a hat on, like, but Nick Martin, you know, Nick Martin's pretty good. Nick Martin can't even stay on the field.
Yeah, but he is pretty good. That's a problem. Now, do you hope?
I mean, I don't know if 4 out of 5 years is a
Is that a big enough sample size?
I'm
not sure that's a big enough sample size.
I mean, to me,
we'll find out.
You got Greg Manse at least. He can play five positions.
Well,
at once?
No.
Greg Manse actually is okay.
He's okay. He's a nice backup who can step in and start at guard if you need him to. He can start at center if you need him to. Man, you'll find that out this week.
Man, what is this? Why are we going running through Texas? It hurts. It's like a little piece of my what I felt, how good I felt coming into work today, it's now gone.
Too many negative.
Why is it gone now?
Because we talked about the Texans and their offensive line issues. I mean, we could have played some Bill O'Brien sound, which is fun, to say, I will never quit.
All right.
I will never. We can play that coming back. That would have been fun to riff on that. But now we actually getting to football stuff with the Texans. That's not fun.
Coming back, I want to hear Bill O'Brien say that he will never quit.
All right.
I won't quit you.
You know why he'll never quit? Because if you do, you don't get the last year of your contract guaranteed.
Are the Texans Heath Ledger and Bill O'Brien's Jake Gyllenhaal?
Oh, I don't see that relationship.
What?
I think they can quit him.
Yeah.
I think they will quit him.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
I think he'd love to quit them.
Okay.
Trust me, it's actually the opposite.
Okay. You know what? What bikers can't do? Quit Republic Harley Davidson. They can't.
That's right, brother.
Open 7 days a week right now during the holiday shopping
season.
Preach
on, brother.
That's 7 days a week only during the holiday season. That means that they're going to be open this Saturday and Sunday, waiting for you 7 days a week to get that last minute bike or that clothing. You're looking for riding gear, memorabilia, jacket, helmet, gloves, boots, sunglasses. This is a great, great present for a biker. Even robes and loungewear for those who do Christmas pajamas. And what biker doesn't do Christmas pajamas? Every biker does. They love pajamas, those people. Listen, if you're looking to get into the Harley-Davidson lifestyle, Republic Harley-Davidson is perfect for you. It's on the Southwest Freeway, 12707, just outside the Beltway. So easy to get to. And when you get there, you go, holy crap, I had no idea there were this many different styles of bikes. It's almost impossible to choose the bike that's perfect for you. You'll know it when you see it, though. But you will see plenty. I'm telling you, you're going to be amazed at the showroom. Open 7 days a week during the holidays. Financing for everyone. Online at republichd.com. Get on out there Saturday. We're going to have music, door prizes, factory-approved promotions in all departments. It's a Republic Harley-Davidson. This holiday season, Republic Harley-Davidson. All right, 713-780-3776. We don't want to be communist radio. Why don't you call in and you can participate? You're more than welcome to get in. I don't understand the whole communist radio thing, but if you want to participate in the show, you're more than welcome.
We always welcome calls.
Yeah,
the one person we keep on hold because he wants to, it's the same questions over and over anyway, and he threatens people with death on the field.
Well, he did. He said if they play Thursday games that someone will die.
He predicted now, what it's going to happen next year.
Gilbert called earlier this week.
Oh, every day earlier this week.
Yeah, well, he was already on hold this morning.
Lock, yeah.
some people love Gilbert call, some not so much.
Right.
But he did call and say that if they continue to play Thursday games, someone will die on the field. What if that really happens, that someone dies on the field and Gilbert called that shot? Do you think Gilbert is, and there's a chance that he has, I don't know, some kind of super egg roll powers that he can, that he does, that he's so...
He can will it to happen?
Well, he...
I hope not.
Yeah. I mean, he predicted everybody my does death. That. If don't blind people hear better? Like...
Well, he gave me a death date at the other radio station. He told me my death date. I'm like, what? At least he gave me a year. Well, he just hit me with it. Everything's fun and games until he hit me with,
what,
yeah, you're going to die in 2036 anyway. Like...
What?
What?
Gilbert. What? I'm going to die in 2000.
Actually, it was earlier than that.
Well, oh, God.
It was sooner than that.
When?
Yeah. I don't know. I can't remember. And I'll try to immediately get it out of
2018?
My head. 2018? No, it wasn't that soon. All it wasn't that soon, Dale.
Well,
Sorry.
Dale wants that to happen.
Do you guys care about... no, you guys are always welcome to call in. 713-780-3776. And, of course, we're going to get to some tweets here in just a second as well. 713-780-3776. So the question came up about the question didn't come up. Deshaun Watson wants Bill O'Brien to stay there. You asked, does that play into it anyway? I don't think it plays into it at all. It's much bigger than just one player. Bill O'Brien has been asked this question. It was a little bit more aggressive this time, a little more pointed. Do you still want to be here? In the past, I want to be the coach of the Houston Texans. Okay, this week it changed a little bit. If you read between the lines, you can really sense. I think Bill knows he's gone because there's starting to be the rumor out there that it's already a done deal. That was reported over the weekend. Here's Bill O'Brien at his press conference on Monday when asked about, you know, if he wants to be with the Texans.
I will never quit as the head football coach of the Houston Texans, ever. All I'm worried about is this team and this coaching staff. That's really all I really care about.
Does it make your job harder when this stuff keeps swirling around?
Not really. You know, I'm in there grinding, watching tape. You know, I've got to come in here and answer the questions. And like I said, I'll never resign as the head football coach of the Houston Texans. So, you know, that's basically where that's at. And I don't know where I didn't even read the story. Was told about it a little bit. So I'm not sure where they come from. I think probably the best thing to do would be to ask the person who wrote it. Wouldn't that be the smartest thing to do? To ask the person who wrote it. Where they get their info.
Source.
Well, why don't you know, what is a source? You know, well, what is your source? You know, it's, I don't know where those things come from.
But he was that answer was actually to the question, well, do you still want to be here? And he said, I will never quit. He didn't say, yes, I want to be here. He was asked directly, do you want to be here? First, he said, I'll never quit. And then they follow up with, well, that's fine, but do you want to be here? He goes, I will never quit. I said, I'll never quit. Like, okay. He didn't say he wanted to be here. He said, he'll never quit. He'll never resign. What coach resigns?
Doug Marrone.
If you resign, you don't get your cheese.
Well, right, but some like Doug Marrone took a shot on his on himself and lost. He didn't get a job until a few years later.
Mm-hmm.
Then the thought was that Bill O'Brien might take that same shot. You know what? I'll get a job somewhere. I'm out of here. I'm gonna get a job somewhere. I don't know. I believe him when he says he won't quit. Whether or not he acts so ugly towards Rick that he gets himself fired, that's another issue. Mm-hmm. That's another story. Do you believe it is that bad? He continues to say Rick and I work well together. Do you believe it's that bad? I know behind the scenes you hear things. I hear things as well. And it's the thing about it is that it's public knowledge. I talked to coaches last week that were here, college coaches that know. They were like, oh yeah, Bill pretty much wants out of here. Mm-hmm. He really wants out of here. Mm-hmm. He can't get along with the GM. So if you're putting it out there for public consumption, if that it is public consumption, then it's probably in a situation where it's very difficult to go into work that you don't want to go into work. I don't know if you've ever had a co-host that you just didn't want to show up, that you weren't thrilled about doing the show with. I don't know if that's ever happened to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
but it's something that, that's difficult to work every day.
It is. I mean, if you fundamentally know
Retire early or something, do something.
Yeah, if you fundamentally know that you don't want to do that, then So and I think it's both ways. I don't, you know, I think there's a belief that OB can be a little surly to work with. He's a good football mind. I mean, he really is a good football mind. I don't really know anyone who challenges that. Nobody in any position of knowledge at all and understanding of the game challenges that. Fans will challenge it. I don't care about that. Everyone wants everybody fired all the time. Mm-hmm. That's the norm. OB's a smart football guy, but that it takes a lot more than being a smart football guy to be a successful head coach. And the relationship, and even if you're a successful head coach, we've still seen situations where deciding where personnel decisions, that's a separate entity from anything inside of the football and trying to win in game. Personnel is a totally different animal. And if Rick Smith says, I don't trust the process of a head coach making the picks, then you're going to have issues if the head coach wants to have either more say-so or, you know, there's been scuttlebutt about the Suofilo thing. And how blame has been doled out publicly on the Suofilo stuff.
Is there any organization that has more careless whispers than this organization?
It's sad because you want to be all on the same page.
I mean, honestly.
I swear to God, I never hear about any of this stuff in Seattle with John Schneider and Pete Carroll. You never hear about any of this kind of stuff.
Why did we have that story about four games in, when Deshaun was doing really well, that Bill O'Brien actually wanted to start Deshaun Watson in the first game, but Rick came in and told him no.
You know why?
Because whisper. Sources tell us, according to an unnamed source, Bill O'Brien always wanted to have Deshaun Watson. Then later in the year we got, according to another source who whispered to us, Bill O'Brien didn't even want Deshaun Watson. According to sources, our source tells us that source is stupid as piss. According to our source, whisper to us, Bill O'Brien's trying to get out of his contract anyway.
Why don't you just have... You know what I'd like? Bill O'Brien and Rick Smith to just yell at each other on TV.
That would be...
I'd pay for that pay-per-view.
Who does that? Fox does that? Don't they do that?
These two guys do more whispering.
Quan LX?
Quanell and it was Matt Patrick, rest in peace. But yeah, they did that where
they used to yell at each other.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be awesome if that was?
Yeah, just do this. Just
Quanell, Rick, and
you two don't have to whisper to your media guys anymore for them to put it out there.
Right.
Just stop. That's all that's going on.
Whispers.
Like, I've got a guy. Well, I've got a guy too. I'm going to hit you first. Bill O'Brien may get fired if he doesn't win this playoff game. Rick Smith's like, what? Because everyone thought Rick Smith was out leaking that one.
Now, how much of it is? How much of it is agents putting it out there? Agents putting it out there. So, or, you know, hey, Bill O'Brien's agent. They might not want Bill here anymore.
Whispers.
Anybody hear this?
Bill O'Brien may go to Bill O'Brien's interested in the Maryland job.
Whispers.
Do you think that came out of nowhere?
But how smart is it, though, if you're Bill O'Brien's agent, to put that out there so that other GMs around the league might be looking at you, might be vetting you right now? Yeah.
You see how the game works, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm
tired of whispers. You're either all in. You guys are either all in
They're not all in.
I like OB as a coach. If he's not all in here, then the Texans need to cut bait. And if Rick Smith didn't all in with Bill O'Brien, but get on the same page, man.
Well, okay.
D'Antoni and Maury seem to be on the same page. A.J. Hinch and Luno page.
But Maury grabbed D'Antoni off the scrap heap. He was the eighth coaching hire and well past the hiring.
Do you ever hear D'Antoni say anything bad about the personnel?
Can't. He's just thrilled to have this job, though, isn't he?
Well, he's winning, too. He's got good players.
No. He's excellent. Well,
Daryl Morey's pretty good at what he does.
Yeah, when it's perfect for your system and the players. No, Daryl Morey is really good.
Daryl Morey picks up guys that fit the system.
Well, now this is something. Okay, why do you like Bill O'Brien? And people would say, really? Daryl Morey's done a really, really good job? But where's all those? Where's all that playoff success that you're talking about? Let's do that on the other side.
Coach and play. I believe it. GMs, put rosters together. Coaches have to coach them up. And at some point, yes, players are responsible for executing. That's why they get paid millions.
Well, let's talk about it on the other side.
Suggest that he's backing the wrong, he backed the wrong player so far.
Who's that, Chris Paul, 14-0? Or
not that
we,
guy. Oh. The guy. Elimination James.
Oh, should he back Dwight Howard?
I don't know who to back, but some people suggest he picked the wrong guy to go all in.
Okay, are you in James Harden purgatory right now, though? Because that's
purgatory's MVP.
On the other side. Right now, though, I got to talk about Coors Light because it's a lifestyle, baby. If you're going out to a game, how can you go to a game and not enjoy an ice-cold Coors Light? That's what I want to know. I want to know how you can go to your kid's Little League game and not put it in a red cup. I'm just saying. It could happen. It has happened on many occasions. What I'm saying to you is if you're looking for the most refreshing beer in the world today, it's a cold Coors Light. And I know everyone agrees with me. I've seen it on Twitter. Everyone loves Coors Light. It happens every single day. I get added Coors Light. What about the guys that send me? If you're on the golf course, I don't know if you know this, guys. You see how I'm dressed today? Guess what's going to happen? Coors Light. And I will tweet the picture from Wildcat with the Coors Light.
That's your Coors Light vest.
Kind of is. It kind of is. Well, if I'm going to play golf, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to enjoy an icy cold Coors Light. Maybe they're on the course. More than likely, or after the round. Less likely that I'll wait that long because I'm going to have some on the course. And if you're looking for the best beer with golf, there's one. It's Coors Light. At Coors Light on Twitter, Coors Light XP, get the app. You're looking for the best beer, I'm telling you, get the Blue Mountains. Climb on, brother. All right, welcome back. 750 ESPN 97.5. I'll call a couple of things that you said. And people will disagree with you, and you can tweet us. You can tweet stuff other than some of the ugly stuff that you tweeted us.
How about Cleaver says, Lance Zerline, always reporting on what unidentified whispers say, then complaining that there are whispers is peak. I'm just giving you guys the scoop. I'm just telling you what's really going on. So that's not whispers. I'm just telling you how things are playing out. If you don't want to believe it, you don't have to, but I told you before the season Bill O'Brien was gone. Didn't matter. Anything short of winning at a high level in this postseason, he was not going to make it. These two don't like each other. They don't. I don't think Rick wants him to be here. I don't think Bill wants to be here. Good. Seems like a mutual parting.
Yeah.
Move on to the next one.
Well, Lamont brought up a pretty good point. He said, yeah, you know what? Jared Goff was really, really good in high school and in college, and then he got Jeff Fisher as a pro coach.
I don't know what he was in college. I mean, he ended up at Cal. Deshaun Watson was a 5-star. I don't know if Jared Goff had that kind of. Case Keenum was not a
5-star.
Anything. So he gave those two.
Yeah, but coaching certainly helps.
Deshaun was winning championships literally at every level.
Yeah.
Like, that's his background. And my whole point where some guys are special, like, I don't think Jared Goff is special. I think Jared Goff is a good, I think he's a good quarterback. He was a rookie last year. What was he going to do?
I guess
behind
the
terrible offensive line.
Here's the deal, though, is that, but well, why didn't everybody believe in him? If you're going to be an Andrew Luck or a Peyton Manning or, what about Jameis? He was a 5-star all the way around. What is he doing now?
As far as Jared Goff is concerned, he was a 4-star, signed with Cal because he's from the area, went to Marin Catholic, so it was right around the corner. But he was a legitimate West Coast recruit, at least.
But this is the thing that annoys me is everyone was like, is Jared Goff a bust? Dude, he was a rookie last year.
No, yeah.
Behind a terrible offensive line that they added Andrew Whitworth, which is a huge addition. They kept Roger Saffold. Rob Havenstein had another year at right tackle. Like, everyone else took the L just for panicking on Jared Goff when he didn't even have a chance.
However, if Jeff Fisher was still there, you think Jared Goff would be doing what he's doing
Jeff
right now?
Jeff Fisher's one of the worst offensive coaches who has ever lived this game, Max Kellerman. There's never been a chance. Vince Young's career was ruined because of chicken wings and Jeff Fisher.
Well, and guns. Not only that, guess what? Jeff Fisher wants the Bears job. And how about Jeff Fisher wanting the Bears job? And, oh, by the way, they still have a coach. But
how many years has we're gonna play a game? Dell, look this up. How many years has Jeff Fisher been a head coach in the league? Now remember, his first shot was took over for the Oilers in 1994.
18, 9 to
20. Oh, over 20 years.
20 years.
Over 20 years. Go look up Jeff Fisher.
Super Bowl.
Go look up Pro Football Reference. Get Jeff Fisher.
You and I had this argument though about Jeff Fisher before that, and you loved him because of the transition period that he kept the team afloat.
Yeah.
he kept the team afloat. And I was like, I just don't see it with Jeff Fisher. He just doesn't win.
No, he was when we had that argument, I felt like he did do a good job with that
he
team.
He actually was a difficult time because they didn't even have a home.
It was unbelievable. He kept them alive with 8-8s, and then he made a career of
8-8.
Around 8-8.
Yeah, right.
And after a certain amount of time, how many times do you think he won double digit games in his 20? Dell, how many total years?
He has been he was a head coach for 22 seasons.
22 seasons. Okay, are we counting one where he took
over
the Oilers?
I'm counting the 1-5 with the Oilers to start. In 94.
So how many full seasons? 21?
21, yes.
21
how many years out of 21 years do you think
Jeff
Fisher...
Well, we know he went to the Super Bowl.
Because we talk about Rick Smith having a tenured for life.
Yeah.
How about Jeff Fisher?
We've had this talk before.
He's coached for two teams. That's a long time. You got to be really successful. That's Marvin Lewis type stuff right there. How many years do you think he had double-digit wins?
I'll say 4.
No. Higher.
Oh, okay.
How many?
Six out of 22.
How many over the last 12 years? He got away from Steve McNair, who's no longer living, and Eddie George, who's been in musicals on the movie. He's been doing musicals like Chicago as Billy Flynn.
From, let's see. He's two in the last 12. After 2003, which is their... They went 12-4, lost to the Patriots in the divisional game.
Remember the snot stash game? That famous game?
Yeah, I love that.
It's been two double-digit win seasons, back-to-back in 07-08.
He lasted forever
with
winning. And I'm not even talking at 9-7. He wasn't pulling a 9-7 Bill O'Brien.
No, outside of the two double-digit years since 2003, he didn't finish with the winning record in the other years.
He didn't.
Well, back to the point, though, is that the coach, I think the coach does matter. And I think what we've seen out of Bill O'Brien with Deshaun Watson is a huge positive. I remember Steph Stradley tweeting out, are we sure in the offseason, are we sure that we want Bill O'Brien to be taking over this Deshaun Watson thing? Are we sure that that's the best thing for Deshaun Watson? And at what I saw was really, really positive.
Do you feel like, this never made sense to me. If you just connected the dots and you actually did any studying at all, you just had to do a very cursory glance into the numbers. This isn't debatable. I know everyone got mad at Brian Hoyer and wanted him put down like a dog. The fact was, Brian Hoyer had his strongest year as a pro.
Before that, Fitzpatrick had his best year as a pro date.
Yeah, his best year since he had been a Ram.
Right.
There's no way around that.
Right.
There's no way around that.
Well, I was talking about this yesterday with somebody. Oh, Christian Hackenberg. Well, wait a minute. The only year the Christian Hackenberg,
what? He actually looked like he could play
when he was with Bill O'Brien.
If you take Christian Hackenberg in college, the two quarterback Fitzpatrick and who we just mentioned, Hoyer, and Deshaun Watson, if you just look at those guys who are starters. Now, you also have Case Keenum, you have Mallett, you have other little, like, a sliver here, a sliver there, a sliver there. But if you look at the big picture, Bill O'Brien has had good success, touchdown interception ratio, quarterback rating ratio, things of that nature. They have not been wildly talented, lot of these guys.
I will say this, though.
Deshaun is.
Just like right now.
But who cares about
the problem, that? Just like right now. And just like the Hoyer, Mallett, Fitzpatrick, he is night and day from what he was with Deshaun. He's been so unimaginative, so boring, so staid. His offense is it's predictable. It's conservative. It's crap. He was, Lance, with last year, that offense, now Brock, it was Brock. So, you know, I don't know what to think, although Brock shows flashes, and he showed some flashes here. But his offense, you can't be an offensive mind like that and be 29th in the league. You can't be that for years and still be 9-7, yet your offense is one of the worst in the NFL. When Deshaun got here, it was totally different. He seemed like a different coach. He was not as conservative as, well, except for us against Seattle and New England at the end of the games. He got back to that. But what the hell? How come he can't be in some way, shape, or form a little bit more imaginative with TJ or with Savage or with Brock?
But a big part of it, John, was like the zone read look to keep guys. He basically used it as play action. I just don't know that that even matters. If TJ Yates, like, who's going to respect the backside fake on TJ Yates? Like, I don't think you can run the same offense or you can do the same thing.
Well, then do something else, though, than just dropping TJ Yates back with Kendall Lamb as his left tackle and just getting killed.
None of that sounds good. None of what you just said, TJ Yates,
but
Kendall Lamb.
But do something different. You're a freak. It's all you do all day long. And yet it's the same thing over and over and over.
I got something crazy different. How about going to Texas Grill Shop for the holiday season and going in and getting yourself a present? Why don't you give the family a present? This is my favorite trick. Hey, I got the family an Xbox One. Congratulations, family. Well, I just got my. That's how you get yourself presents. Why don't you go in and get the family a present like a Memphis Grill or a Green Mountain Grill or Traeger or Kamado Joe, the ceramic cooker, or the Saber infrared cooker or a Weber gas grill. These are all the different grills they have there. I actually have more than that. Why don't you give the family an outdoor kitchen? And your wife's like, what are you talking about? This is the family. This is you. Oh, well. You cook for the family. To me, that's giving the family a present. You're going to always get your grills, and they're the best selection, the best high-quality grills. But they're always going to have them lower than the retail price. You're not going to find a better price. They also assemble them and deliver them, which the other guys don't do, for an additional fee. Well, Texas Grill Shop doesn't charge you an additional fee. That's absolutely free. You get seasonings, marinades, rubs, barbecue accessories. It's all at one-stop shop. Except they have a couple of them. One is in Louetta. The other location is at 59 and Shepherd. For more information on this great holiday sale, go to TexasGrillShop.com.